This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes, indeed. Good Saturday morning to you. Lawn and Garden Talk straight ahead here. And thanks to the help we're going to get, you are going to receive from Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, good morning. It's November 7th, but can you believe the temp? It's 60 already. I know she's there.
It is warm and beautiful outside.
Warm up at Perkins with our new pot roast specials featuring our mouth-watering.
Nothing like live radio, I say.
That's right. It really is live.
Well, Julie, you sound a little far away.
I do. Okay. How's that? A little bit better?
Well, yeah. Even closer.
Even closer to the mic?
Please. That would help, I think. Anyway, Julie has helped us out, you and your colleagues, for so many years, and the people love it. We're already getting text messages already. Not, by the way, if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you want to call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. I know we're having some issues with the streaming. I can say that up front, but those that are listening to us now are not on streaming. They're on a broadcast, so we welcome
them.
We always tend to get busy when we talk lawns and gardens, and today's going to be no exception. So don't wait. If you do have a question, call it in or text it in, and we will get you some help from Julie from the U of M.
Yeah.
I was thinking, and every time I look at that forecast, which we do a lot here on CCO, I want to do some dormant seeding. I thought I had cleared the leaves off, but of course, lately we've had some windy weather and they've all come back again.
And I'm
not sure. I know you don't have to have a pristine lawn to head into the winter. But what's your definition of, I can leave those leaves on? What can we help? Because it's going to be windy the next 3 days.
It is going to be windy. And I think right now, I would probably hold off a little bit on the dormant seeding because it's going to be 70s today, I think. Right, Jenny?
73 today and tomorrow.
A little too warm, perhaps. However, we are going to drop in the bucket, I guess, starting Monday. Sounds like we got some wet weather coming and maybe some other, colder temperatures coming too. So just kind of maybe hold off till next weekend or so. We want to be sure that the temperatures are cold enough that those seeds are not going to germinate. And I think if Maggie were on, she would say just wait till next weekend. But you want to give one more mow to your lawn before you do that because it's important to have good seed-to-soil contact. In other words, you can throw seeds down, but if you've got long grass or leaves and they sit on top of that, they're not going to contact the soil and they're not going to germinate next year. So you want to do a couple steps. You want to mow first, and you can drop your mower down. Usually we tell people mowing at 3 inches is where you should be, but at this last mow of the season, before you dormant seed, you want to cut down low, down to around 2 inches.
Mm.
And then you want to do your seeding. And that should take care of any leaves. I mean, if you have a lot of leaves on your lawn, you want to rake them up. But if you just have a few here and there, it should mulch them up just fine.
Okay.
So mowing down at about 2 inches and then doing your dormant seeding. And I hold off till next weekend.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Again, by Monday afternoon, late afternoon, we'll be dropping our temperature.
Right.
So we'll be back into the 30s, et cetera. So, all right, 651-989-9226. A texter wants to know, Julie, can you split iris now? Can you trim peonies? And we just addressed dormant seeding. So what about splitting iris and trimming peonies?
So iris should be divided around July after they have bloomed. That's the That's the good timing for that. And then I think that peonies, you can cut peonies down now, so that's fine. You can do that. But you don't want to be moving peonies. You want to move those around August or so. So you can cut your peonies down, but I'd hold off dividing your iris till after they bloom next year.
Okay. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I know we have callers coming in too as well. Let's take a break right here, Julie, and then when we come back, we'll grab some calls and more text messages. This is our Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830WCC. Call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions every Saturday. And Julie Weisenhorn is with us today from the U of M. Julie, as usual, callers and texters to keep you busy.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Ham Lake. I think Tom has been waiting there to ask you a question. Tom, what is your question for Julie?
Good morning. We have 12 honeysuckle plants we planted last fall that were 2.5-3 feet tall. Now they have shoots, each of them about 8 to 12 shoots in each plant that are like 3 feet tall. We want those plants to just grow in a natural shape. They're not in a row or anything. But I was wondering, should I trim any of those shoots to help fill in or just leave them?
I think the best thing to do with the honeysuckle is I would go ahead and prune those probably I have never had this question before. I have to admit, Dom. They are summer blooming, so I think you could go ahead and trim those anytime after they go dormant, meaning that, anytime in the next couple of weeks or so, maybe later into the winter. Sometimes it's easier to see the strange branches that you need to remove or get it into a better form. And so I think you could prune those anytime coming up in the next few months, you know, over the winter. And then there'll be spring, there'll be a summer blooming plant. So they will set flower and bloom on probably newer wood. That's a great question. I'm going to have to look that one up myself. I'm kind of working it out in my head. So I think that would work.
Do some homework. Okay.
I'm going to do some homework. I got a note here.
let's get Patty from Oak Grove on the line here to find out what she wants to ask. Patty, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Julie?
Good morning. Say, I have a couple bags of fall fertilizer left. Would it be beneficial to put that on my lawn now, or should I just hold off?
That is something that you want to put on your lawn in the spring, or you want to hold off on that. Right now, it's a little bit late in the season to be doing fertilization. And because the lawn is going to start to go dormant. So you can do the seeding, as we mentioned earlier in the show, but you want to hold off and you want to do a spring fertilization when temperatures warm up and the lawn is growing again actively. If you fertilize plants when they're going into dormancy, you push them into growing unnaturally, and that can be stressful on them, and it might just cause some more problems down the line for you. So I just stash that away, and then next fall, I would go ahead and do that probably earlier in the season, like around early October.
Good question. Thank you. All right.
Good question.
Texter says this, Julie. I recently saw an article that the burning bush has been recommended to get out of your yard. It is apparently bad for the environment. Can you comment on this?
I sure can. So the burning bush, or euonymus elatus, winged euonymus is another name that we go by, has been found seeding in natural areas, so woodland areas primarily. And that is not where it's supposed to be growing. So it is currently on the noxious weed list. It is going to be phased out, most likely out of sales in our retail environment. And it's unfortunate because it's a very beloved long-time plant, but we can't have these garden plants, these landscape plants, seeding into woodland areas where they take over from native plants and more desirable plants. We find the same thing with barberries. There are about 25 cultivars of barberries that seed heavily, and so those are also found in naturalized areas. So those plants have been taken off of the for sale list, off the market. There are other barberries available, and you will find some alternatives for the euonymus on our extension website under plant selection. So there are a number of really good fall color, interesting, beautiful plants that can replace those euonymus. And so we have, under our plant selection, we have a plant selection database that you can find alternatives for the euonymus.
Good. What is that website, Julie?
It is extension.umn.edu. And if you want to find out more about the euonymus, you can go to the Minnesota Department of Agriculture site.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Miller's calling in from Golden Valley. Miller, you are on with Julie.
Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, you just talked about a gentleman with his honeysuckle, about pruning them. I have mock orange. Can I prune that now, or should I wait, like you said, for maybe a month or so away, all the greens are gone? And my second one is about garlic. You know, we planted our garlic when it was so cold, a week and a half ago, and of course we mulched it good, and I'm just wondering if I'm going to have a problem with all this hot weather we just had lately.
Okay, so first let's talk about the mock orange. Is a spring blooming plant, and that is something that you would want to prune that after it blooms. It sets buds within a few weeks after blooming for the following year. And then as far as the, well, let's see, what was the second question again? Benny, do you remember?
About garlic and the warm
garlic
weather.
Okay. Your garlic will be fine. You've mulched it. We're going to drop into the temperatures now, you know, lower temperatures, and then it'll be just fine. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. So.
Well, good.
But that mock orange is a beautiful shrub. Boy, it sure smells good, but you want to then prune it right after it blooms.
Okay. Thank you, Miller. Jim is calling in this morning, I believe, from Belle Plaine to ask Julie a question. Thank you, Jim. What is your question for Julie?
Yeah, my question is, I have a alpine currant hedge that's about 30 years old, and it's starting to show its age, so I'm wondering if I need to rejuvenate it by replanting it next spring.
You can actually rejuvenate it by pruning it. And we have a number of two different options. I think for the alpine hedge, you would want to do a complete, like trim it completely down to about a foot tall or so. Doesn't have to be that low. I'm not sure. It's a tall hedge, it sounds like, but you might want to take about a third of it off or so. And then you could eliminate some of the really big trunky stems that you have to make room for more younger and kind of brighter green stems. So on our website, we have some information on pruning trees and shrubs, and it's got a couple of really good diagrams that you can use and some good explanations. So that would be, I'd recommend that you take a look at that and see what you can do, renewal pruning or rejuvenation pruning. So rejuvenation pruning would be what you're looking for those older, overgrown shrubs.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Texter wants to know, Julie, can I root and plant willow tree branches? If so, how?
Stick them in the ground. That's about all there is. Willows tend to really produce roots easily from cuttings. And so do dogwood, too. So like red twig dogwood, yellow twig dogwood. So you can take a cutting of those and push them into the ground, maybe if you want to extend your willow hedge, or if you want to put it someplace else, you want to add it to your landscape, you can take cuttings and you can root those by just putting them in the ground. And I would do that either in the spring when they're actively growing, wait until spring, or you could do it now and see if you can get any to root so that they'll start rooting in the spring. They're probably not going to root in the fall at this point.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Phyllis is calling in from Stillwater this morning to ask you a question. Good morning, Phyllis. What is your question?
Good morning. I have two plants, a succulent and a violet, and they both need repotting. Do I need special soil for them?
Yes, that is a good question, Phyllis. Your succulent, I would buy a cactus mix. It's a sandier, lighter mix. And succulents, even though they're nice and beefy little leaves, they actually like to be quite dry, which you probably found out. And your African violet, there is African violet potting mix that you would use for that. It's specially formulated for African violets. We do have an excellent web page on African violets, too, if you want to take a look at that. That's on our extension site under our houseplant section.
Okay. Line is open, 651-989-9226. That's the same number for your text question for Julie And here's one. I started a lupine in the house, Texter says. Put it out in the garden. Should I cover it with leaves and burlap, and will it come back next spring?
You are not going to need burlap for a lupine. They're an herbaceous plant. It will die down to the ground. If it comes back next spring, yay. I can't predict whether it will or not, but they are outdoor plants. They do well in our environment. They do like well-drained soil, so make sure you're not putting it into any heavy clay, or that you at least amend that soil before you plant it outside. Maybe you already planted it outside, it sounds like, but you can amend it by adding in, by working in some compost around your plant.
Okay. I tell you what, we have a bunch of text messages I want to get across, too. So let's do this. Let's take our bottom-of-the-hour break. We have to look at the forecast. Going to be warm today and tomorrow, then things will change. You stay with us. We'll get you that forecast and more lawn and garden talk on our Smart Garden Show with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota helping you out today. Talking lawns and gardens by phone and by text, and we have both, Julie. So
all
let's,
right.
Let's get back to it. I think Mark is calling in from South St. Paul this morning on the phone. Go ahead, Mark. Thanks for waiting.
Wondering about composting, what we can do, any difference for that, something like that, or depending on what type of composting system, a simple stack type, the drums, and such like that. I wish there were one thing you could answer. How to get red maple to drop all the leaves before the snow falls. I have two of them in the front yard, and they're notorious for dropping a few leaves before, but once the snow falls, then they drop.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Thank you.
So they are never those trees are never timing things exactly right. We had we have a huge sugar maple that grows up through our deck at our house, and we had so many leaves, it was unbelievable. And we thought we got them all, and then that really windy period came and blew a whole bunch more off, and I see that there's still some more out there. So, yep, that's trees have a mind of their own, so to speak. But the question about composting is a good one, and you can do a number of different things with compost. You can, depending on the size of your property, you can have a simple compost pile that's, you know, a ring of chicken wire, for example, or hardware cloth, that you just dump your refuse in and turn it with a garden fork. You can buy a composting system. There are some that are very inexpensive, like they're just, you know, plastic, and they have a plastic locking lid. A locking lid is really important because if you have any critters around, like raccoons, like I do, you want to lock those things down because you're dumping your kitchen waste out there, your fruit and vegetable cuttings, and boy, they would love to dine on those. So make sure you have a locking lid on somehow on that plastic container. You can do a barrel. There are barrel systems. You can build them. You can buy them. And those are okay, but I would just caution you that you can't fill a barrel up completely. You need room for the stuff to move around, and it can get very, very heavy. There are some barrels that you roll on your lawn to move and turn your compost. That's the objective of that. But they can get pretty heavy, so you just want to think about how you're going to manage that compost bin. We have a great web page in our soil section on the Extension Yard and Garden page about composting, and I would recommend you take a look at that, too. I might give you some other ideas.
I know we addressed this topic in the first half hour of the show, Julie, but maybe somebody joined us late. Says, good morning, texter does. We have a ton of leaves and a pretty big yard, and my wife thinks if I just mow them with the riding lawnmower, it'll be just fine. I still think I would need to rake as well. I don't think it will mulch everything. Any advice? Well, for those that missed it, what would you say in that particular instance?
Yeah, I would say that both of you are right, and both of you are perhaps not quite right. One of them is, yes, you can mow leaves and mulch them onto your lawn. But if you have a lot of leaves, like this texter mentioned, you may have to rake them as well. You don't have to do a perfect cleaning, you know, complete raking. You can rake up the massive amounts of leaves, and you can either put them on your garden, you can take them to your compost, your local compost site, or you can use them for mulch next year if you can tuck them away somewhere on your property and mulch with them next year. So you have a couple different choices there, but if you have a lot of leaves, it's going to be really hard to mow them over and over to get them chopped up well and not completely cover your lawn. You want to get those leaves off of your lawn so that your lawn will grow well in the spring. If you leave packs of leaves on your grass, it will eventually cause the grass to not grow well. It's not going to get any light. You could also have an increase in molds or bacterial issue too.
All right. 'Tis the weekend, it looks like, for that. Again,
a
windy one.
It's a great weekend, yeah. All those things that you've been kind of saying, geez, I didn't get to that. This is a good weekend to do it.
You'll remove the leaves today, and the wind will bring them back tomorrow. So that's what's going to happen.
Well, they might.
Yeah, you never know which direction.
You never know.
Julie, let's go back to the phones. I think Phyllis is calling in from New Richmond this morning to ask you a question. Thanks for waiting, Phyllis. What is your question?
Yes, I was just wondering, I have a plant called red turtlehead, and I don't know when to prune it back or how to separate it.
Okay, so I think so. Turtlehead is an herbaceous plant. It is a wonderful pollinator plant. I have a pink one called Hot Lips in my garden, and I just added two more of those this year. So it's a great plant. It blooms later in the season, which is wonderful for our later season pollinators. You do not have to prune it, really. You can cut it back. It's herbaceous, and you can divide it. But I would divide it in the spring because at that point the plant is smaller. It's much easier to handle, and you can then determine where you want to move it around. And the rest of your garden will have, be died down as well, so you have a little bit better view of your garden. So you can cut it down now or this winter. And or in the spring, either one, it's your choice. And then I would divide it in the spring.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the call, Phyllis. Texter says, can I safely trim back my hydrangea tree and small hydrangea bushes, and how far back should I trim them?
Well, I would encourage you to wait till spring to do that, and here's why. When we prune shrubs, every time you make a cut, it prompts a plant to grow new growth at that point. And we are getting, of course, into the dormant season for our plants. We want our plants to just gradually go dormant over the winter. And there's a number of physiological things that plants do that help protect them through the winter. So when we start making cuts, it's just not a good time to do that. So what I would recommend is waiting until spring and then pruning back to a nice fat bud in your plant, on your stems, and prune those back at that point. And then you can shape the plant too. One advantage too to not pruning hydrangeas, you get all that great winter interest from these plants, from their blossoms. And so I would just hold off and do it in the spring.
Okay. Listener wants to know, one of my 15-year-old Black Hills spruce trees has browning on its needles. Most of it's on the underside of the branches. What's your read on that?
Well, that could be a needle cast disease. We've had a number of those cropping up this year, and there's good information. I'm going to send you to our website for that. You may want to send a sample into our plant disease clinic on the St. Paul campus, and they have a website, pdc.umn.edu, and just go to that website, and it will explain how to send a sample in. And when you have issues on major trees, you either want to call a certified arborist, and we have many good arborists in Minnesota, and have them come and take a look at it, or you want to send a sample in because you don't want to lose that plant. There may be nothing to do about it, but there might be something that you can do about it.
All right. Back to the phones we go. North St. Paul is our next stop. Jim is there with a question. Jim, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
Yes. Is now a good time to cut back my clematis, or do I wait till spring for that?
So some clematis come back from the ground, and some clematis grow on old wood. In other words, the branching that was established this year. So you want to know which one that is, and you probably do because you see it come back every year. If it comes back from the ground. Like I have one that grows back from the base of the plant. It doesn't leaf out on any of the old branches. You can cut that down now. If it's one that grows on old branches that produces buds and leaves on old branches, then you want to leave that up and just do a little bit of light pruning in the spring just to shape the plant. It might be kind of all over the place. But that's what you have to determine with the clematis.
Okay. Listener wants to know your opinion. Do you think are there any companies that spray apple trees?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Must be.
Don't know of, yeah, I don't know of any off the top of my head. But yeah, I'm sure there's tree care companies that can do spraying for you.
Yeah, just check around, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, just check around. If you know somebody who has a company and they're happy with them, that's always a great, word of mouth is a great way to find a good landscaping company. Tree care.
There was a texter that says, I planted green onions from seed this year. They're too small to eat. Can I harvest them, store them somehow, and replant them next year?
Whoa.
I don't know about that.
That's something. I'm not really sure that they would make it, because there's a lot of green tissue on those plants, and I think they would probably just mold.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you stored them, you know, just like if you buy green onions and you store them. And even, I don't even think you want to dig them up and grow them as a house plant for 6 months. You know, I don't think that would even work very well. They need a lot of sun and heat. And so I guess I would just chalk it up to a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you dig them up and you can still, you know, get something out of them, that would be great. But I would start next year. You can buy, you can start seeds early next year, like in March or February, and then transplant them out. I would go that route.
All right. Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Ken is calling in from Blaine this morning. Ken, you're on CCO with Julie.
Good morning. I have a question. I have a large leaf pile that I use. I have like 2.5 acres of land, and so I have a leaf pile that I've been actually taking leaves, which are primarily oak leaves, and piling them up on this leaf pile for about 30 years. And one of the things is the deer, like in the wintertime, they'll rest in the leaf pile. But the question I have is, I was looking at kind of digging into this leaf pile, and it looked like the soil was really rich looking. Now, is oak leaf, is that a good compost to use in the garden and stuff?
Yeah, I am jealous. I would love a 30-year-old leaf pile in my yard. That is some good compost. And yes, oak leaves are perfectly fine to use in your garden. Some people will say that they acidify soil, but I don't think that if they're broken down this much that it would matter very much. So yes, it would be great compost. And you can use that as a mulch instead of a wood mulch. So anywhere you can use it in your garden, you can work it into soil if you're doing a vegetable garden next year, or containers. You can work a little bit of that, and that is terrific. So way to go. 30-year-old leaf pile.
Yes.
Wow. I'm envious.
Thank you, Ken. We have time for Harold's call. Let's go to Harold calling in from Roseville this morning. What's your question, Harold?
Can you hear me?
You bet.
Yes. I have a winged euonymus, 7 or 8 years old, about 7 or 8 feet tall, that last year was just beautiful. This spring, it started out, it looked like it was going to be a good year for it. It budded out, had little leaves on it, and it never advanced from that, and it looks completely dead now. Does that get a disease, or do you think that's a critter? Or I just left it. I'm going to probably take it out next spring because it looks completely dead.
That is sad. It's sad when any time that you lose a really beloved plant. It could be that the euonymus has been girdled. You want to check down at the bottom of the base of the plant. Rabbits love euonymus, and they will get in there and they will chew that bark off. And what happens is, as they chew, they break or interrupt the flow of nutrients, the vascular system of the plant, getting, you know, stuff from, you know, so nutrients and water from the roots up into the rest of the plant, and then photosynthates from the leaves down to the rest of the, down into the roots. And that could be what happened to your plant. The interesting thing, and we mentioned this earlier, is that the euonymus, winged euonymus, is actually on our noxious weed list now under specially regulated, because it's been found to be seeding into naturalized areas. So taking it out gives you an opportunity to put in other plants. One that I would recommend is a glossy black chokeberry. So this is a native plant. There are some cultivars from our native plant, which are terrific. It produces beautiful white flowers in the spring. It has berries that persist through the winter that are good for it in biolife. And it also has beautiful red fall color. It's a different kind of shrub, but it's a really good alternative to a euonymus.
All right. Julie, we need to take a quick break here. We have a more Smart Garden show to come. Julie Weisenhorn joining us from the University of Minnesota. We have more questions to get answered here. Lots of text messages we'll grab when we come back. Here on News Talk 830, WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. And Julie, a lot of textures. Let's see how many we can field before we let you go today. Here's one. It says, are arborvita needles good or bad for the lawn?
Well, arborvitae have these kind of fan-like needles, needle-like branches. Not sure what to ever describe them. I need to go back to my taxonomy. But they are, they're okay. They're not really good for a lawn. If you drop them, if you've done some shearing and you drop them on your grass, they're going to shade out the grass. So I would rake them up. If they're little tiny needles, little tiny, you know, they do drop some brown needles. I mean, that's a natural occurrence. They should be okay. You just don't want them to be really dense on your lawn. You want them to just, you know, you want to be able to see the grass.
Sure. You know, from time to time, you and your colleagues mention the Yard and Garden News on the website. Tell folks who are maybe unfamiliar, what's that all about?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. On our website, the very first thing, just above the podcast of Smart Garden, is our Yard and Garden News link. So this comes out twice a month, and it's written by people like myself, my team, the Hort team. And we put in current information, and there's an article that I wrote this week that might be really helpful to people who are thinking, okay, I've got this great weekend. What is it that I need to do this fall? One of them is to plant bulbs. This is still a good time. You can still plant your spring blooming bulbs. You can mow your lawn one last time if you haven't already, and remember to drop your mower to about 2 inches. That will discourage snow mold from growing on your lawn next year. You want to check over houseplants. If you're like me and your houseplants were outside this year, this would be a good time to really take a good close look at them. I had a terrible mealybug problem on one of my plants, and I'll be honest with you, it's in the garbage. So, and then protecting plants, putting up fencing. We had somebody who's talking about the euonymus that wasn't doing so well this year, could have been girdled by rabbits. This is a great time to put up fencing around those plants. And then last but not least, cleaning up your tools. And cleaning up your garage and putting things away and getting them ready for next year. Oiling your blades, sharpening them, disinfecting things. This is a good time to do it now. And it's a nice day for the next 2 days, so you can do it outside.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You're not making a big mess.
What do you use to disinfect it, so to speak?
Well, what we usually recommend is we have a number of different things. One of them is actually a Lysol all-purpose cleaner. That is a good cleaner for things like to eliminate bacteria and fungi and viruses from tools. And then also we have bleach, a bleach solution. And then last but not least, some rubbing alcohol also works too.
All right. Good idea.
Good, like you, good information on the webpage about that.
And like you said, a great weekend to do that. You can do it outside.
Really good.
Perfect. A listener wants to know, how do I winter Diplodenia indoors? Cut the plant back? Take cuttings? Any other ideas?
Oh, boy. let's see. That one, I am kind of stumped on that one. I think bring it indoors, and I would probably trim it back, and so that it's a little bit more manageable in your house. And then clean up the surface of the soil. That's really important when you bring plants in to overwinter them. Clean up the surface of the soil. Pick up leaves and dead flowers and any, you know, maple seeds that have dropped into your pot. Clean the pot up too. A lot of times we'll get critters that, like mealybugs and other, you know, spiders that take up residence on the bottom of your pot or under the edges of the pot. You could repot it at this point. It might be that it's outgrown its pot. These are all good things to do for any house plant. So, but I think I would probably trim that one back.
Okay. Texter wants to know, should I still be watering perennials if their leaves and stems have dried up?
No, not at this point. It's really the trees and shrubs that we want to be watering, and especially our evergreens. The evergreens have to keep their needles through the winter, so they need moisture to do that. And so really trees and shrubs, but our perennials, they're kind of going, you know, going dormant quickly. And now this coming week, we're supposed to get a little bit of moisture, so they should be fine.
Okay. Well, here's a good one. My granddaughter started a small garden this year, Texter says.
Awesome.
Should she map out what was grown where, and should she rotate the crops differently for next year?
Oh, my gosh. That is a great grandparent. Holy cow. Yes, absolutely do that. Keeping records of your gardens, especially annuals, is and perennials, too. I'll say that, too. But that's really important to do, especially when it comes to rotation. And I want to send your granddaughter to our soil section and our vegetable garden section, and take a look at some of the information. There's information on rotating. You actually rotate by family of plants. For example, we have the nightshade family. That's the tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, eggplant, tomatillos, and you want to rotate those. You don't want to be growing the same family in the same location year after year, because that's how pathogens grow and, you know, diseases and bacteria grow in the soil. You keep planting the same host plant there for those pathogens. So, yes, rotating, absolutely. And take a look at the vegetable section.
Okay, great. Listener says, my perennial flower bed needs about 2 inches of soil. Should I be putting that soil on this fall or wait till spring?
I think you could do either. If you have the gumption to do it this fall, yeah, you could add that now, and it would actually settle over the winter, and then you could see where you maybe missed a few spots. Or you could do it in the spring. So either one.
We had this at the top of the show, and somebody may have joined us late, and we've got a few questions again about dormant seeding. When do you think should be done this week? And you're saying it's still too warm, possibly. What would you recommend? To wait until, what, a week or two?
Yeah, I would just wait till about mid-November and do that. Because that's just next week, so that would be fine. You can take a look at our dormant seeding webpage, too, to give you some tips on how to do it correctly.
Texter says, I've always bordered my garden with tulips, which I'm transplanting. I plant alyssum around them, which covers the area as the tulips die off. If I plant them all in one area, what can I plant among them as they start to fade and dry up?
Well, I think the alyssum is a great idea. That's a very prolific, nice border plant for as an annual. You can interplant tulips. You can actually plant tulips into like a ground cover type of. I have a juga in my backyard, and I interplant bulbs into that, and it kind of acts like the alyssum does, kind of covers it up as the plants are dying back. You could also plant bulbs into like a ground cover of evergreen if you have a low growing juniper. You know, that grows about, 4 or 5 inches tall. You could interplant them into that too. Any kind of a ground cover, any kind of a low-growing plant would be terrific.
Okay. Texter says, can I plant a Miskim lilac dwarf tree in the same spot where one had died?
Yes, you can. Yep, that would be fine.
Okay. We've got a couple of minutes to go here. Let's see how many we can field. I recently planted a large native butterfly bee garden. Can I cut them down each year as the plants are drooping into the existing yard?
I would trim up those plants that are drooping. Now, one of the interesting things about pollinator gardens is that we want to leave stems for stem nesting bees. And so don't cut them down. You can cut them down to about maybe 8 inches or so, 5 to 8 inches. And leave different heights of those plants. You could do some at lower, some at higher. You don't have to cut them all, leave them all standing, but leave some of the stems standing for those stem nesting bees. And yes, if they are leaning over into your lawn, then you would want to prioritize those plants first.
Okay, a quick one here. Can I overwinter coral bells in the house? They've been in a container all summer.
Oh, boy. You can try. They're perennial, and you can try doing that. I have never done that before, but if you have a sunny window and they're in a well-drained soil pot and they're not a huge plant, that's the other thing. If they're a smaller coral bell, I think that would be easier. You can try doing that. It's Or you can try planting them this weekend.
Okay.
So, but you can choose which way to go. They're both going to be kind of an experiment.
Less than a minute to go here, Julie. Maybe let's get that website mentioned again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's extension.umn.edu. You can read the Yard and Garden news, current information from Extension educators, and you can listen to podcasts of Smart Garden on WCCO Radio on that webpage, too.
Outstanding. Julie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And Danny, thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you.
Hey, you too.
Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.